And Genesis chapter 28 in your Bibles together with me, please. Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to be reading verses 10 through 22. This is Jacob's dream, Genesis 28, beginning with verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, would you read with me the next six words? If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. If God will be with me. You know, the day in which we live today, what's going on in our world right now, in our country right now, is an exciting time in one way, but it's truly frightening in another. But one of the comforting things is that we can face what we are going through with other like-minded believers. This is our family. But what if you're all alone? And what is it like when you go home? And do your thoughts ever keep you awake at night like they do me? Or are you so tired you just wipe out anyway? I have been so wiped out at times, and yet my thoughts trouble me enough where I stay awake. Because now you're alone. I mean, I can be right there with my wife, but I'm alone in my thoughts. I don't know if you've ever heard of Marcus Luttrell. I think that's how you say his name. He was on SEAL Team 10, and he and his three teammates went into northeastern Afghanistan on the border of Pakistan, and they were to take out an Al-Qaeda leader. And they were flown in at night. They secretly were inserted, and they had a firefight because the Taliban found out where he was. They were, and everybody was killed except for Marcus. He was all alone. He wrote a book called Lone Survivor. The subtitle was The Eyewitness Account of Operation Red Wing and the Lost Heroes of SEAL Team 10. It was June of 2005. And you know, when you're with your buddies and with, you know, this guy, he has this responsibility. This guy is the one who's responsible to do this. This is the radio guy. This is the weapons guy. Everything's fine. But when all of a sudden you're all by yourself, it changes. Well, Jesus, just before the disciples abandon him taught them the importance of God's presence. Knowing ahead of time that his disciples were going to leave him, he said this, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." You're going to leave me alone. It's not in a sense where, you know, leave me alone. It's no, you're going to leave me by, you're going to leave me alone. You're going to scatter, you're going to leave me. I am going to be alone. But I haven't finished the verse, because here's how Jesus finished it. "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Folks, every one of us can pray that same thing. Even in our most dire times, when we feel alone, we can always say, "And yet we're not. Yet I'm not. Because God is with me." So, if you have that realization all the time, perhaps when, like I, you lie awake at night, in the darkness with your own thoughts, if you really, truly believed that God was with you, would it change anything? What if this week you had the confident assurance that God was with you? What would it change in your life? And so for the next few weeks, except for next Sunday and the following Sunday, we're going to be looking at life-altering improvements that you would have if you were assured of God's presence. How your Christian life would improve if you were confident that God was with you. Would your life improve? Your Christian life improve if all the time you were confident of his presence? Let me ask you this question to start this off this afternoon. Is God in this place? Well, you say, yeah, he's omnipresent. Wait a minute. Is there a promise that God is in this place? And I see most of you nodding your heads, yes, and that's true. Next question, how do you know? How do you know that he's here? Well, here's the right answer. Because he promised. So now you must accept that by faith. Do you see him? Do you feel him? It's something you accept by faith. Here's what he promised to the children of Israel after they had gone into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. And this is in the last part of the book of Joshua, Joshua 21, 45. This is what the Bible says. "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Because whenever God promises something, God does it. He cannot lie. And if he has promised you that he would be with you, then that is something that we must accept by faith. And that's the difficult thing. Because we typically walk by sight, not by faith. And yet we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. But it's so much easier to walk by sight, because I can see it, I can see him. But that's not how we grow. We grow by walking by faith. And so I like you, and you like I, we have the same difficulty. And that is remembering that God has promised his presence. Now, you know that God is with you, not just because he says where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them, but there's another promise when you're alone. He had promised his Holy Spirit and said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you." John 14. And when he gave the Great Commission, he said, "And lo, I am with you always." Promise after promise after promise. Can you give me any of God's promises, not just about his presence, but any of God's promises that apply to us today? Can anybody just raise your hand and I'll point you out and say, "Give me a promise"? And I want somebody to write these down. Who's a good scribe? Okay, Caleb. Well, she's the church clerk. She needs to. Okay. So you tell us, you tell me a promise that's in the Bible. You may not be able to quote it exactly. You may not know the reference. But there's a promise in the Bible where it says something like, you may be able to say. Can you give me, and let's make a list of promises. Some of them having to do with the fact that God is with us. What's a promise that you take comfort in, Brad? Okay, promise of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Carol?
John 3:16.
What a promise. There it is. There's the promise of salvation for believing. Jerry? Very good. Very, very apropos. 41:10 of Isaiah. Somebody else I saw. Janet. Wow. Tremendous. Karen. He is going to prepare a place for us. Promise. Promise. What other promises can you think of anybody? Megan? God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed upon him. Somebody else? Jerry? There's a promise. I will answer thee. Any others, Brad?
1 John 5:11-13
Yep.
Yeah,
you can know that you are saved. So you think about the promises. Now, those are promises that aren't necessarily having to do, except for the one like Jerry did and some of the others, not necessarily about God's presence, but they're God's promises. Here's kind of my thesis. You know, when you write a paper, you have a thesis. This is what this paper is about. And you have your thesis statement. Here it is. If you were truly assured that God was with you, you would be more dependable. I've got 7 or 8 others, but just today we're going to look at dependable. If you were truly assured that God was with you, you would be more dependable. Would you agree with that? Let me ask you this. Can you depend upon him? You can depend upon him. Is he faithful? Same thing. Dependability, faithfulness, is a communicable attribute. A communicable attribute is an attribute that you can acquire, that you're actually commanded to have, because that's what God has. He can communicate that to you. You can't be omnipresent like he is. You cannot be omniscient like he is. You cannot be omnipotent as he is. But you can be faithful like he is. It's an attribute he expects of us. Go to Joshua chapter 23. And here we're going to see the testimony of the one after whom the book is named. Joshua chapter 23. He's at the end of his life. That is, Joshua is. And here's what he says. Joshua 23 verses 1-5, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. Now here we go. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. I want you to really hang on that. As the Lord your God has promised you. Jump down to verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. I was thinking about that this week. One man chasing 1,000. And I was just, do you ever take biblical scenes and try to picture them, or just try to picture something that the Bible says? Can you imagine you, one person, chasing 1,000, running from you? It's not because you didn't take a bath, but you know, you are chasing them, your enemy. They would kill you, but you are chasing them. And that's the promise that God is giving them here. Look at verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, Joshua said, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Nothing has failed. Then verses 15 and 16. Therefore, based upon the fact that nothing has failed, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come unto you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Here's the point I want to make with that. What's the adverb that modifies the word perish in the last part of verse 16? Quickly. Quickly. You will quickly perish. How long did it take the children of Israel to come into the Canaan and actually conquer it? At least 5 years. And they're still not done. At least 5 years. And here's what God had told them. You can find this in Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 7. He said, you know what? You're going to conquer them little by little. This is what struck me. This is what I want you to get. If we're going to live for the Lord and make progress in our Christian lives, it happens little by little. But what we have done and built and put together for so many years in your life can be gone that fast, quickly perish. In other words, it takes a lot longer to build than it does to destroy. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was playing with little Benji on the floor there in Germany, and he had these little tiles that were translucent with magnetic edges, and you could construct a little house or construct something. Maybe Rod and Carol see the same thing with Silas. And so I'm on the floor with little Benji, and he's, you know, Papa, you know, let's do this. So we're putting it together, and I'm carefully putting this on here, and he looks at it and goes, psh, wipes it out. What took me minutes to build took him 1 second to destroy. And that's what happens so many times, even in our institutions, in families, that what has taken so many years to build and to carefully construct can be wiped out in no time. And that's the sense that's here. God promises, you know what? You're going to chase 1,000. You're going to have victory and victory after victory. But you know, if you don't do what's right, it goes away quickly. You perish quickly. True or false? The more dependent you are upon God, the more dependable you are. It's true. Let me give you an illustration. Joshua and Caleb, plus 10 other spies, go to spy out the land. Which of the spies were completely dependent upon God? Joshua and Caleb, too. Which of the spies were therefore more dependable? Joshua and Caleb. Listen, the more dependent upon God you are, the more dependable you are. Said another way, the more you trust God, the more you are worthy of trust, of other people. The more you're faithful to God, the more faithful you are. I'm trying to get you to see, you know what? If I truly believe in God's presence, that he's with me all the time, I'm going to become more dependable because I'm depending upon him. And the more I depend upon him, the more dependable I am. It's hard to find dependable people. You've heard the verse, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I've had unfaithful teeth at times. You're chewing and all of a sudden that tooth breaks. It's like, I can't depend on anything, you know? I've had an unfaithful foot. You too. A foot out of joint, let's just call it a foot that went to sleep. Have you ever gotten up out of bed and your foot wasn't ready for it? What an unfaithful foot. And you crash and you're wiped out on the floor because of that unfaithful foot. Confidence in an unfaithful man is just like that. Is there anybody here who needs to be more dependable? I close with a man by the name of Joseph. And I just want to close by having you go with me to Genesis chapter 39. I've skipped through so much here. I thought I'd have time for, and I don't. So we'll end with this in Genesis 39. I want you to note the word used three times about dependable Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. It's actually a phrase. It says in Genesis 39, 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. That's the part I want you to get. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. In all three instances, you're going to find out that Joseph was a prosperous man. And along with that, the phrase that occurs with it consistently is, God was with him. So verse 2, Joseph was a prosperous man. God was with him. Verse 3 again. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in a sense. So there's prosperity again with the fact that God was with him. Jump down to verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because, out loud, the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. It just goes hand in hand. When God is with you, you prosper. Joseph realized that God was with him. How else could he have endured what he endured?